Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
This is the fun part here, finding new Burt's Big Adventure families to be part of our Burt's Big Adventure family. So applications are due by September 6th for the trip we take down to Disney World with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. We take everybody in the house too, and it's all expenses paid. And we, you guys know, man, I mean, we do a magical 5-day trip. We do everything VIP. We create this community of special needs families that hang out with each other after we get back from Disney World, also when we do reunions. Well, now we're looking for families to take with us on our 2024 trip. And it's not an easy process to go to because we got to go through doctors. They have to give recommendations also. So it's not like you can do it in like 2 hours.
So that's why we're telling you now. So I know you think like, oh, September 6th, that's a month away. We have plenty of time. This is not one that you can fill out like the day before it's due. Because like Bert says, you know, we want to make sure that we are taking the right families on this trip of a lifetime who have never been to Disney. Kids have to be between a certain age. There's also some financials that we look at as well. But more so than anything, the medical paperwork and forms are necessary from doctors in order to like write off if the child can attend, you know, go to Disney. So if you go to birdsbigadventure.org, if you are the family, please nominate yourself. Or if you have a neighbor or somebody in your church or a child at school that you think their family would be the perfect ones to nominate, please do so. And just to make sure you guys know, we don't do like this selection process isn't based on vote. So if there's a group of you and if there's a mom group and like, yes, let's all submit the same family. You only got to submit them once. Right. So save yourself some of that paperwork there. But make sure you do get that in because it is a trip of a lifetime. And not just that, these families with children with special needs become a part of our Burt's Big Adventure community. And we are there for them through thick and thin. We have the reunions to get everybody back together. And you find families in similar situations, whereas other people could never comprehend what you go through on a daily basis. But this community we've built and these families they're there for each other now. And they've built these beautiful bonds and we want you to be a part of that.
So the application, you can get started today at birdsbigadventure.org. Okay, in this email that we got, she's wondering if she should remain civil for the sake of the kids or should she cut ties with the woman?
Hey, Burt Show, I listen to you guys every morning on my way to work. I've heard y'all help a lot of people out and just wanted to get some advice on a situation I'm in. It's kind of a weird situation and it seems silly, but at the same time, I feel so confused on what to do. So here it goes. A few years back, I had my daughter with a man who was getting divorced. It was a whole lot of drama. But after he split with me, I became friends with his ex-wife for both our daughters' sake of knowing their sisters. It's been a really weird friendship. At first, she and I both went back and forth being with him. She would break off all ties with me when either of us were with him. Skip forward a few years and we're both married to men who are not the father of our daughters. And I have a wonderful friendship with my daughter's father and we co-parent now. She has not had such a great co-parenting relationship with him. She told everyone he was a deadbeat and had nothing to do with their daughter. But she had blocked him on social media and never kept him informed of new phone numbers or addresses. He recently was able to finally come back into his other daughter's life, but it has been a lot of drama. First, he became concerned with his daughter's well-being when he picked her up in her bag and clothes all smelled like cat pee. He was also concerned by her appearance every time he picked her up. So he called DHR to do a home check. She instantly lashed out and accused my husband and I of smoking pot every day and having a filthy home. I assume to get my ex to call DHR on me. He didn't. He knew we were not like that. They went back to court, and even in her court papers, she stated he was around people doing drugs. She put us in a situation where we would have to defend ourselves for something her ex-husband chose to do. We stopped talking for a year because of everything that was done and said.
This is a mess.
This is a lot. Now, she has reached out basically blaming me for not talking because I hurt her by not reaching out after DHR was called. I explained I had no idea that was happening until it was done, and she had said what she said. Then she blamed us further by saying we put ourselves in a situation to have to defend ourselves. I explained accusations like that could have cost us our jobs and future jobs as educators. So rightfully so, we were mad. She again put all the blame on me, never once apologized for what she said. I don't know how to keep being civil with someone so narcissistic. But I hate how my daughter went from seeing her sister whenever she wanted to only seeing her every other weekend when their dad has them. It's been very conflicting for me because being nice just seems so hard to do. Any advice on how to handle the situation would be nice, really. Do I cut all ties again or do I be civil? I know at the end of the day, it's my choice what I do. But what would any of you do if you were in this situation?
Well, if my relationship with my kids was being jeopardized, and what is DHR? Is that like Child Protective Services?
Uh-huh.
And Child Protective Services would be called in based on accusations that didn't even happen. I'm keeping that person away from my family.
Yeah. I know. I think her heart's in the right place because she wants the two sisters to have a bond. But that bond is... hopefully it can be maintained every other weekend when they're at their dad's.
Yeah, I feel like there's not much he can do with a person like that who's going out of their way to be that kind of toxic. So at the end of the day, you got to protect yourself and your children. I would stay far away from this person.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Jamie Foxx is apologizing for remarks that people are calling anti-Semitic. So over the weekend, Jamie posted a photo on Instagram that said, "They killed this dude named Jesus. What do you think they'll do to you?" with the hashtags fake friends and fake love. So for some people, when they saw the word they felt like it meant that he was specifically calling out Jewish people, which started out with the generalization of people assuming that Jewish people alone were responsible for the crucifixion of Christian figurehead Jesus, and has historically been used as a driving force behind hate crimes against Jewish people. So then a screenshot of this was shared to a social media account where they were calling out, they're like, this is anti-Semitic. And on the like post, you know how you can see like the most famous person who liked it? It's like the first thing that pops up. Jennifer Aniston's name popped up. Ooh. And so then Jennifer responded. She said, "This makes me really sick. I did not like this post on purpose or by accident. And more importantly, I want to be clear to my friends and anyone hurt by this showing up on their feeds, I do not support any form of anti-Semitism. And I truly don't tolerate hate of any kind, period." I have brought Judaism correspondent Rebecca here to respond, because as a Jewish person or as a Christian person, I don't know that I'm the right person to respond to this.
Yeah, this has been interesting for sure. So when a celebrity is anti-Semitic, I will get a text from the Jewish group chat where we all talk about the Jewish agenda and what is our plan for, you know, the coming new year. And it was radio silent this time because nobody thought this was anti-Semitic. Nobody I knew, nobody off of Twitter thought that this was actually anti-Semitic. Now, every Jewish person that I personally know has had something offensive or hateful said to them basically about Jews killing Jesus. That's kind of a textbook thing for Jewish people. But if you read Jamie Foxx's Instagram post, it's very obvious. He's not talking about Jewish people. He's talking about fake friends. Uh-huh. I mean, he hashtagged it in the post.
See, okay, so I'm not Jewish, but I felt the same way you did because I followed Jamie Foxx and that post popped up and I read it. And I didn't go anti-Semitism. I went, oh, he is pissed off at somebody in his life because they backstabbed him in a big way. And because he's been in the hospital and people have been talking about him, I was wondering if he had just had somebody in his life, AKA a fake friend, who, you know, did whatever. So, but again, I'm not Jewish. So I was like, was I missing something?
I can understand why someone would read that and their first thought kind of pings. Okay, that's kind of a little iffy. Because I'll be honest, when I read it, I was like, oh. But when you think about it, mm-hmm. give some context, it's not anti-Semitic.
And he apologized, right? Yeah, so he actually deleted the post and then posted an apology. I want to apologize to the Jewish community and everyone who was offended by the post. I now know my choice of words has caused offense, and I'm sorry. That was never my intent.
Yeah, it seemed to be a divide on Twitter about how a lot of people felt like there was some type of cultural thing going on. Because, I mean, for me, being black, when I read it, that's something that people have been saying for the longest of times. It's like, you can't even trust your own friends because look what they did to Jesus. And I didn't think there was anything anti-Semitic about it, like, whatsoever. I was so confused on how that even came about.
It just made me think he had a Judas in his life.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought, too.
The Bert Show.
Maybe I'm missing something here, but this seemed pretty obvious to me. There's a TikTok going viral here from a woman saying that the Instagram thing is a real thing. Basically, it's a red flag on when your dude isn't posting about you at all on Instagram. Seems obvious.
This is a PSA for everyone in a happy relationship right now. The Instagram thing is real. I just got out of a 2-year relationship. He always told me not to worry about Instagram. He doesn't go on it much, so that's why he's never posted me. You know, you don't want to be high maintenance. You know, you forget about it for 2 years. And I don't even think I was in his stories. And if I was, I wasn't like the main character of the story. So basically, I'm here to validate you to overreact if he's not posting you on his Instagram.
It is odd, right?
She's stirring the pot here.
Isn't that odd?
I don't think it's that odd because I don't think some guys take social media as seriously as girls do. Like girls, like, we have a social media plan. Like, we're our own PR team. We know how we're going to soft launch it. We know how we're going to hard launch the breakup, hard launch the relationship. And I don't think that's 100% accurate that if a guy's not posting you, it means that something's up. He might just not be someone who really cares that much about posting on social media.
I feel like we went through there's like a with the generations. So like Gen X didn't really care about like Instagram, millennials and elder Gen Zers. Yes. And then now Gen Z is like, you know, like social media is kind of toxic. So not posting as much. So I think she might be, I'm with Abby on this, she might be stirring the pot a little bit because I don't think dudes are as active as they used to be.
Yeah, I feel like it's situational because, I mean, people have you believe that if you don't post it on social media, then it's not real or it didn't happen. And I don't agree with that. I think you have a right to privacy if that's what you need. But if you have a significant other who's posting everything else and they have no problems with it, they just don't post you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think there could be some validity to it.
Because you're going
to
post things that are going on in your life. Things that are important in your life, right? I post my kids, I post my fiance, I post you guys when we're doing work events and stuff. If I'm out with my friends, I'll post that. Those are important things in my life. If I'm going 2 years and she never posts me and she's posting other things, that's not a red flag?
It's a red flag for me. After 2 years, it would be a red flag if it's other things. Now, I'm also a firm believer on the other side of things. If they are like incessantly posting about you and it's long-ass captions, there's an issue going on there.
That'd be a little bit too much.
Well, I know I'm not alone in this, but I know a lot of girls who are like, I ain't posting you on my Instagram feed until I get that ring. Because, I mean, as somebody who as somebody who has a whole podcast about following people's relationship on social media and being like freaked out when they break up, you kind of want to keep that private. So if you do break up, you don't have people wondering in the back of their head, like, what happened to Johnny and Abby?
I think that's another factor to it. Because like we were talking about earlier, if you become a couple in the public, like on The Bachelor or something, and now everybody's entitled to your business, what if it goes wrong? Right. Everybody has to watch the breakup and you have to delete the pictures. And it's like some people just don't even want to go through that until they know for sure this is my person.
Yeah, that makes some sense to me also. All right, so in Texting Tutor on Friday, let's get some closure here. She wanted to move in with her boyfriend and the boyfriend's roommate, but boyfriend really wasn't having it.
No, he didn't take kindly to that text. We were like, hey, can I just move in with you? So our Bert Show listener hit us up for Texting Tutor. She wanted us to reach out to her boyfriend to ask to move in. And he kind of freaked out about it because it's a big deal. And we tried to downplay it, but it wasn't going over so well. So she has been living with him on his couch, but in his bed for a little while now while she was looking for a place. She hasn't found a place within her price range. She can't find a roommate. And she was like, listen, I really like this guy. And so we've been cohabitating for a little bit now. I get along with this roommate. why don't I, just seems like the next step would be easy. Why don't I just move in? And when we asked him, he was like, that's kind of a big deal, no? And we're like, not if we don't make it a big deal.
But it is a big deal.
It is a big deal. So everything kind of got shelved, and they were going to talk about it later that night. But his initial reaction was a big old, hell no.
So here's the update. He was pretty adamant about not moving in together right now, which was a bit disappointing. However, he did agree to let me stay with him for a couple more weeks, while I continue to search for a roommate. He's being supportive and helping me find something affordable and finding a roommate. In fact, he thinks he has a sister of a friend that is also looking for a place. On a bright side, we did agree that when my new lease is up in a year, it will likely be the best time for us to seriously consider moving in together. I'm glad we have a plan and a timeline to work towards.
You don't have a plan. You got a can that was just kicked down the road.
You don't got a plan. You got a can.
I guess I should see it as a good sign that he is even willing to talk about our future together. While I'm a little disappointed, I'm trying to remember that these things take time. I don't want to force him into something and always wonder if he really wanted to live with me or he just did it because I forced it. So for now, it looks like I'll be staying with him for a bit longer until I can find a roommate, and then he'll revisit the idea next year. Thanks for the help. I'll let you know what happens in a year. Fingers crossed.
Well, that's unfortunate. Sounds pretty healthy. They communicated about it. He said, look, I'm just not ready yet. I love you, but I'm just not ready. But I'm certainly not against the idea. And she's like, that's cool. That's unfortunate.
Imagine meeting each other where each other are.
Yeah.
Mm. How about that? Man, compromise.
While I'm completely on his side in this, I do think it's funny that he became extremely supportive to help her find somewhere else to live.
I bet he did.
We're going to figure this out.
Yeah,
we'll
find somebody. Whatever you need, honey. I got you.
The Bert Show.
All right, Abby. So breakup breakdown, the highlight. This story going to be jaw-dropping from your podcast.
This is wild. So this woman's husband cheated on her with their doula, and she caught them while they were outside with their kids. So, yep. Dun, dun, dun! So
Abby has a podcast. It's called Breakup Breakdown, and it's all about this right here, like really shady breakups. And she literally will hit up the person in the break. How do you find them? They hit you up?
They hit me up. So I have like a submission form. And it's like a mix of submissions. Like as the podcast has gotten bigger, I get submissions from everywhere. But the premise was a lot of people, kind of like we talked about earlier, where you see somebody post their boyfriend all the time and it's really cute. And oh my gosh, like Sammy and Joshua, they're so cute together. And then you see them start soft launching the breakup. And people get curious because they're like, wait, Sammy and Joshua posted each other all the time.
What happened?
What happened? And so I do the what happened and I find out what happened. And if it's a good story, they come on and they chat about it. And so I'd gotten this specific submission from TikTok because some woman was doing like a get ready with me. And she was like, get ready with me while I tell you about how I found my husband cheating on me right in front of my kids. And I was like, I'm intrigued. And she didn't give all the details. So I was like, you need to come on my podcast and talk about it. So she had told me she'd actually met this man at church of all places. Mm. And they had gotten hitched. Everything was great. Somewhere along the line, she actually meets a friend at the same church. Who would have thought? Great. And so they're actually like mom friends. And I feel like there's a specific bond. Like when you meet another mom and you like click on that level, it's like, yep, perfect. Our kids can hang out. We can hang out. All like, this is great. And so this friend is over like all the time, kind of to the point where they become family. Like they're hanging out at the house. The kids are over. They're making dinner together. It's wonderful. Well, then at one point, this woman gets pregnant again, and it just so happens this friend is a doula. So not only is she like a close friend, she's heavily invested in like the birth of this child. It's like, was there when the child came into the world.
Doulas are a big deal to the woman who is pregnant and like the bond that they form, because this is a person that's going to help guide you through the birthing process, and you have to have the most utmost trust with this person.
So this is rather than going to a hospital and birthing the baby there, you do it in your house and you bring somebody in to do the whole thing?
I mean, you can do that, but doulas also go to the hospital.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Amy Schumer had a doula and she had to do like an emergency C-section and the doula was right there by her head the entire time.
Gotcha.
From what I understand, I think doulas help advocate for things,
yes,
that are best for the
correct
mom, because you go in, you've never given birth before, you don't know what to do. This doula can kind of help you along that journey. So this person is basically, what I'm trying to say, very ingrained in their, mm-hmm, lives. So they have the baby, baby. It's great. The friend is still around. And it gets to the point where the relationship starts to change a bit. All of a sudden, the friend is coming over even more, bringing over alcohol, which was a little bit abnormal. They weren't huge drinkers. And they start to get in this weird routine of the friend comes over, brings over the kids. They start drinking alcohol. And, you know, you drink too much, you pass out. And then she starts to notice the relationship between the friend and the husband seem a little off. She's like, I feel like something is happening here. She's picking up on those social cues where there's lingering eye contact. They're a little touchy-feely in person. And so one day, while the wife and the husband were getting intimate, she looks at the husband mid-coitus mm-hmm. and says, F me like your wife is about to walk in. And I guess he freezes in that moment and is kind of like, it ends, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so that's when she kind of knows, I think I have some valid proof here. So one day this friend is over and they were outside at the pool. They were hanging out and she's rubbing sunscreen all over her husband. And then the friend comes over and says, oh, let me help you with that. And starts getting real handsy with the husband. Uh-uh. And now she's like looking at these two and she's like, I'm right here. Like I'm this man's wife. So she says, okay, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to go make some chicken nuggets for the kids while they're out having a pool day. And as she's making these chicken nuggets, she hears a little voice in the back of her head say, go look out your bathroom window. And she ignores it. She's like, no. And then she's still making the chicken and the, now she got mac and cheese in the pot. And she goes, I'm going to go look outside the bathroom window. So she goes into the other part of the house. She looks outside the window and in the kiddie pool, she sees the husband and the friend.
The doula
uh-huh. friend. They are in the kiddie pool and under the water, there was some hand action happening in the kiddie pool while the kids are running around.
Oh my God.
So many infractions.
Because I asked her, I'm like, did your kids know what was going on? And she's like, my kids are so young. They have no idea what's happening. But she was like, they were out there in the backyard.
Oh, you're gross.
No respect.
You're gross.
Audacity. And it gets worse because not only is she watching it going on, she can hear this woman's exclamatory yes. response to what was happening under the water.
Wow.
And so you would think, oh my gosh, that happens. She's going to divorce him. No, she stays with him. And then they go to therapy. She tries to work it out. And then she's like, actually, I don't like this man. and so it takes her a little bit of a long time. She does all the things to try and make it work. And
she's definitely not friends with the doodle anymore, right?
Definitely not. And yeah, there's more to the story with that relationship because the doula was married. It's a whole thing. But if you want to hear more, it's season 3, episode 10 on my podcast.
And you have a lot coming up also, right?
I do have a live. So we're going to be telling these live breakup stories and there's a brunch involved. If you want tickets, you can check them out. They're linked in my Instagram bio at The Abby Murphy. I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bird Show.
Guys, ever been issued an ultimatum before? Like, see, it's me or it's blank. It's this or it's that.
I don't think I have either.
Got an email this weekend. And she was about to give her friend an ultimatum, right? Like, because she hates the D-bag boyfriend. Yeah. And she was going to say, look, it's me or it's him. And those don't end up well.
No, because they always choose the boyfriend. And that was our perspective. So we got this email. She said, hey, I've got like this friend who's dating this guy who's super condescending, even kind of seems a little bit controlling, noticed some red flags that he might even be a little bit aggressive. And so she had actually brought it up to the friend. She kind of dismissed it. But she's not the only one who feels this way. There's actually another friend that is like, yeah, I'm kind of noticing these things too. But when she brought it up to this friend who's dating the guy, apparently she thinks that they're just super jealous, which of course, like, you know, when you're in a happy relationship and you think everyone like wants to sabotage it, they must be jealous. So when they came, this person came to us asking for advice, like, what should I do? I want to issue this ultimatum. Like, it's either me or this guy because I'm that concerned. We were like, yeah, if you issue this ultimatum, like, they're going to choose the boyfriend. Like, they do every single time. And we honestly, I feel like we brushed it off a little bit. We're like, mm-hmm. Of course they're going to choose the boyfriend.
Yeah, we didn't spend too much time on it.
We really didn't, because everybody was like, you can give her the ultimatum, but she's going to choose her man.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
All right, so here is the update. First off, I have to say, I came to you guys hoping for support and advice, putting myself out there during a particularly vulnerable situation. I was honestly blindsided by accusing me of acting like a high schooler. I'll take credit for that one.
That was you. That one was me.
Being open and vulnerable with you and coming for advice was difficult, and having my concerns dismissed so casually was shocking. Let me just say this about our advice, okay? Again, this is the way I view it. We are not professionals. We are not therapists. If you send an email to us, I feel like... The way I look at him is you're coming to us for honesty and truth. And sometimes that comes out in the form of tough love. And that's what I would have exactly have told one of my best friends had they come to me with this situation. My first words out of my mouth were, what grade are you in? So that's why I said that. So I'm kind of doubling down on it. Sorry if you got your feelings hurt. My concern is and always has been the well-being of my best friend. We've supported each other for years, long before this guy ever showed up. So when I consistently see behaviors that raise red flags, I have an obligation to do something. It's not coming from a place of jealousy or pettiness, but genuine concern for someone I consider family. I will say you sound much more mature today. You've certainly graduated to the 11th grade.
If this is a best friend, you should be able to speak to them openly and honestly. Now, honestly doesn't mean you know, you can be rude. There's a difference. But if you have concerns, you should be able to voice those concerns. And then once you voice those concerns, you have to respect your friend's decisions.
I decided not to give her an ultimatum, but I'm also not going to condone this relationship either. We talked and I told her once again how uncomfortable and worried I was about her current relationship. I told her that for the sake of my mental well-being and our friendship, I'd prefer not to be around him and not to have our conversations revolve around him. She was obviously not happy about what I said and basically ended our conversation about it with, fine. That's never good.
Never.
Never fine. Is fine.
Mm-mm. Fine is definitely not fine. It's not exactly the understanding I would like, but I guess it's her choice. I haven't heard anything from her since the conversation, but it's only been a day. Regardless, I stand by what I said. I don't hate this.
I don't hate it either. I mean, I think this was the much better route than giving an ultimatum. You told her how you are doing actually the healthy thing by setting up boundaries in your life to maintain your own mental health. And if this is a true friend, well, it hurts, and that's okay that... Of course, she's going to want you to love her boyfriend, and that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a bummer. Understood. But if this is a true friend, she's going to respect your boundaries, and you guys are going to find a way to move forward. It'll be different, but I still think the friendship is salvageable.
Yeah, I think it was unrealistic for her to think that, or not that she thought this, but it's unrealistic to think that you're going to set up these boundaries and say this about this person that obviously means a lot to your friend and think that it's going to be all happy and wonderful. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, again, like,
you're not the high school in the situation. You're definitely maybe college aged and you've set up the boundaries. You've done the healthy thing. And really that's all you can do because they're going to keep dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my problem with it was just the ultimatum. I just don't think giving your friend an ultimatum in this situation mm-hmm. is very friend-like. It's one thing to have concerns and it's one thing to not necessarily support the relationship. But ultimately, your friend is a grown woman. She's going to date who she wants and you don't have to like it. But I think you should support your friend through whatever she's going through.
Absolutely. Okay. Like Kristen said, to put up those boundaries or express your opinion one time, they can do with it what they want, but you get one shot at it, you know?
Get it. The Bert Show.
So Mo could sense the tension, sense maybe the division, but wasn't quite sure why with a friend for a while.
Yeah, I'd been thinking that this could be a possibility for a long time, and then it finally came to over the weekend when one of my best friends said something to me that literally my heart just dropped out of my body because I was so afraid of what the results would be in this moment. And it's all because, so one of my best friends, he's been one of my best friends for a long time, and he's also my DJ. So anytime that I have shows, I always ask him to come out and DJ for my shows. And we've been doing this for years at this point, so we've done more shows together than I can even really remember.
And having gone to one of your shows recently, he's kind of like a very active participant in the show as well. He's not just playing the music. He actually like participates in the show.
So yes, that was a first time. Like typically in all my other shows, he's just been more of a DJ and he gets the crowd going. But yes, like you said, at the last show, which was more of a live podcast than a comedy show, he's telling stories, he's engaged. He was genuinely a part of the entire experience, which is why I paid him more than I normally would. And I do okay at my shows, so I think it's important anytime you ask your people to come out and support you, you pay them for their time. But it was always kind of odd to me that for years now, every time I would send him money, he would never respond to it.
Not a thank you?
Nothing. Mm. And I don't know. I guess it's because it's my dude. I didn't think too much into it. I'm like, maybe that's just his way. Like, he just never responded to it. Not even like a thumbs up. Mm-hmm.
But it's a paycheck. Like, if he's doing a job and it's work, it's a paycheck. I don't thank the company every time I get my paycheck.
Well, you should. but are you going above and beyond what you guys agreed to?
So that's the thing. There never was an agreement, per se. There was just, I think he kind of looked at it like I'm just doing my dude a favor. Because he never came to me like as if it was a problem mm-hmm. or anything. I think genuinely in his head, he was just happy to do it. Like he does. I don't even think he was looking to be compensated for it. But in my mind, like I would never ask you to come do like work with me and not compensate you. But I also didn't think he owed me a thank you.
Negotiated like, okay, I'll do it for $250 or whatever.
Not at all. Okay. He was just like, man, I'll do it for whatever. I just want to do it. And I knew the rate of DJs at shows. And so I knew I was paying them very well. Like I wasn't just trying to pay him what the average DJ makes. I was paying him handsomely for his time. And so like I was saying, I didn't think it was weird because like you say, Kristen, he earned the money. It's not like I'm just giving him money out of a favor. Like, no, he earned it. He doesn't have to thank me if he doesn't want to. But I just was always concerned on if he got the money. And for whatever reason, I always would say, I'm going to mention it to him, like just to make sure he's getting the money. But I just never did. I always forgot.
It is an odd question because if you ask, hey, did you get the money? It's almost implied like, and he did. It's almost implied that you were expecting a thank you, isn't it?
Yes, I would think so.
Yeah, yeah. It can be taken one of two ways. You just want to make sure he received the money, but he could take it like, well, like this guy's miffed at me because I didn't thank him for the money and he's trying to call me out for it. How were you paying? Like, what was the transaction? Like, how were you paying him?
I was paying him on Venmo.
Okay.
Which is usually how I pay everybody. And so, like, everybody else on the show would always at least give a thumbs up, just saying, I got it. And which is that's all I need, you know? And he just never did. And so, ironically, we go to a party over the weekend and I told myself again to just find a way to bring it up. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, but I just needed the peace of knowing like that this dude is getting the money. And so we're sitting there and God works in mysterious ways because he's telling me a story about like some things that he's going through in life where it's challenging him financially. And so he was like, he's telling me about this. And then that's when it kind of hit me. And so he starts talking about wanting to do shows in the future and wanting to put on parties as a DJ and starts telling me like different rates. And then it pops in my head and I'm like, while we're here, like this felt like the perfect moment. I'm like, hey, man, just curious. Like, you've been getting the payments that I've given you, right? And he looks at me and he goes, What payments? ain't no way. I said, nah, bro. Are you serious right now? He's like, yeah, I'm serious. What you talking about? I'm like, you have not gotten one payment from me, all of these shows we have done over the years. And he's like, you've been paying me?
So you've been sending it to the wrong dude?
That's what I didn't know.
Oh,
in this
no.
moment, I'm like, what? So, like, I mean, we're talking about years. Like, this is a lot of money. Like,
are
from
you
these shows.
Like, over $1,000, you think?
Oh,
you're
yes.
Into? Well over $1,000.
Absolutely. Well over $1,000. Like, over the years of every show we've done. So, I mean, I'm like, bro, it has your name, mm-hmm. your number. It even has his picture. So that's why I never thought, like, I could possibly be sending it to someone else. But he's saying he didn't get a dollar. So then what happened was he's like, wait, how are you sending it? And then when I told him, he's like, oh, yeah, I guess he deleted that app over his phone. So he just was never getting any of this money all of these years.
He deleted the app, but that account is still there. So if he uploaded it, all that money is sitting there waiting for him. He just didn't know it was there.
Exactly that. So the time, like, we don't really have great Wi-Fi. So it's taking forever for him to download this app and log in his app. So each second I'm sitting there like, please, Lord, somebody, I don't know who, but somebody's getting paid. Uh-huh. But finally, when he logged into it, this man lit up like a Christmas tree because he saw all of this money that's just been sitting there all these years. And all this time, he thought I just wasn't paying him.
Dude, and you talk about, like, the perfect timing, too, because he was just telling you how stressed he was about finances, and now he's got, like, this...
It's like Christmas came
money.
Early for him, exactly.
Aww,
so
yeah.
He gave me a big hug, and it was just, like, a great moment of embrace, but I'm like... All this time, dude, you thought I wasn't paying you, man? Like, you must have thought the worst of me.
Now you're offended. How could you think I wouldn't pay you? What kind of man am I?
What kind of friend do you take me for?
I never want to work with you again.
Get it? The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Eva Mendez and Ryan Gosling don't let their 7 and 8 year old daughters use the internet. So on Instagram, Eva posted a video of herself shaking her head, and in the caption it says, "When my kids ask me if they're old enough to go on the internet, social media, or anything requiring Wi-Fi, nope."
Biggest regret I have as a parent, new parents, if I could give one seed of advice to you guys, hold out on letting your kids have phones and access to screen time. Just do it. I'm trying to do it in reverse now. I created the problem as a parent, gave my kid unlimited screen time. And now we're reversing it. And it's trying to get somebody, it's almost like off a drug.
It's an addiction.
The drug is dopamine. But, you know, trying to scale back is, it's really been a challenge. If I could give any advice, is keep them off those screens as long as you can if you want your child. If you want to see the color in your child's eyes.
Yeah, that was the reasoning. So she said, in my house, children do not have access to the internet because it's too dangerous. Just like drinking or voting or getting a driver's license isn't allowed for children, the internet falls under that category for me, especially social media.
Yeah, let me throw this book out at you guys again. Dopamine Nation. If you are nervous about how much time your kids are spending online and you're not exactly sure what to do about it, or the effects of all this dopamine, this rush they're getting every time they get a notification, it's a real thing. And it really helped me out a lot, try to figure out exactly what I'm going to do with my teen. And it's called Dopamine Nation.
Mm. Busta Rhymes says bad sex motivated him to get in shape. Oh. So he recently did an interview with Men's Health.
That'll do it, man.
We're
huffing and puffing and the light's not even off yet.
Just
turning the light switch off, man.
This would be what you would call, like, your weight loss wake up.
Yeah, this is it right here. Yep.
So he recently did an interview with Men's Health magazine, and he admitted that a comment from a partner really got him motivated to get in shape. He said he was getting so bad during intimacy that it was sort of like a bad asthma attack.
Noises were not sexy.
No. Heavy breathing in the ear.
Yeah.
His partner at the time suggested that it was his weight, saying that his breathing was scaring her. And he even admitted it. He's like, I had a really hard time breathing. I was trying to inhale and it felt like it wasn't working. So I would walk out of the bedroom into the living room. And he said it was like he was forcing himself to, like, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. This was a couple of years ago, but he did post like a side-by-side profile pic, and he looks amazing. He's in incredible shape. So I'm sure that sex is a lot
better now.
There was a really big transformation that he made. I always wondered, like, what got him going, what inspired him. And, well, now we know. It. Bad sex, that'll do it.
Some bad, dirty talking. Like, this is like asthma.
This is really not a place you want to die.
Nah, man, that ain't it.
What a way to go, though.
Right. Matthew McConaughey's dad, that's how he died.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Oh, thanks. Yep. Okay, good talk. Okay, Beyonce has a very interesting and specific request for her Renaissance tour. So I've heard about these celebrity writer requests because you've heard people like only wanting the green M&Ms or wanting certain music in their dressing room. I also know Celine Dion, she travels with her own lighting kit because she wants to be lit up a certain way. Makes all the difference. Well, this might top them all, at least from a sanitary standpoint. According to The Sun, Beyonce travels with her own toilet seat. Somebody actually posted a picture with containers. It was captured backstage and it's labeled Beyonce toilet seats, and it's a part of the whole gear that she travels with.
Shut up. I'm not mad at that either.
I like that.
Yeah, you're going from stadium to stadium. You got to have the creature comforts of home.
And for, like, the way my brain works, I'd be like, I would worry because people are weird. That wherever her dressing room is, the bathroom she uses, somebody would go in there after her, take the toilet seat, and try to sell it on eBay, that this is the toilet seat that Beyonce sat on.
I didn't think about that, but I certainly did think about whoever puts the toilet seats in. Like, if she thinks that they don't use it so that they can say, I've used Beyonce's toilet seat, you know they're doing it.
Or sell the water out of the toilet. It could be a bunch of different. They'd make money off it. Yeah. You know where that whole green M&M thing started?
Where?
It's a really pretty interesting story. You know the band Van Halen?
Yeah.
So Van Halen had that in their contract, and they felt like if we put this in our rider contract, the small details are so important on doing a tour that if we put this in our rider and they get that right, then we can feel confident that they'll get all the other small details right.
Oh, so you know it's not like an a-hole move.
Nuh-uh.
But then it makes you wonder, how does Beyonce know that these are her toilet seats? Are they labeled? Are they monogrammed? Are they heated?
I don't know, right?
Are they solid gold? Because now I want to know. She left some marks on there from the last concert. Because what if I want to upgrade my
Oh, that's me.
And if it's getting on the seat and not the bowl, you need to see a doctor.
That's fair.
It's time for a diet change.
You have way too much fiber in your diet.
For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Clicky buzz.
Get it. The Bird Show.
You want birth control? You could go to your doctor. You can get yourself some drugs, prescription medications for that. Or you could just hang out with kids. And it's more natural childbirth, and that'll do it sometimes.
Exactly. And I'm not sure if you all have seen videos where people will post their kids doing something so crazy that's so terrible. And in the comments, they say, well, my baby fever's gone. Mm-hmm. That natural birth control just can't do that. Right?
Is it like those videos where the kids get into like some white paint and the mom walks into a room and like the entire couch is covered in paint and the floor and the rug is covered in paint and the children from head to toe are covered in paint?
Yes. Videos like that.
Okay. Yeah.
For me, mine is that baby that covered himself in peanut butter that everyone thought was so funny. Everyone was like, ha, so cute. I saw a nightmare.
And so I experienced my own sort of nightmare. And this all happened because I was watching Sweet, Sweet Jimmy.
Oh, Lord.
Look at you. Your kid put her in a retirement.
Oh, my gosh. Now Katie is in this club where we've seen Crackhead Jimmy. Like, I was scared of kids before. After seeing Crackhead Jimmy, I was like, yep, I'm going to tie up my ovaries.
Her ovaries in a retirement.
I think I could probably handle Crackhead Jimmy a little bit. And majority of the time that I am around Jimmy, he is a delight.
Now, for those that don't know, Jimmy is Kristen's son. And when they refer to him as Crackhead, it's just that there are certain times during the day or if he has sugar.
No, we don't do sugar in our house. So if he does have any type of sugar anywhere, all it takes is two bites and he's very energized.
Spirited.
Yeah, but Crackhead Jimmy is Jimmy with no nab. Because we are very fortunate. That doesn't happen often. My kid, like clockwork, goes down at 1:30 or goes down at 2 and doesn't get up till 4:30 or 5. Like, he takes a solid 3-hour nap.
I am jealous.
Every single day. So if it doesn't happen, you eat Crackhead Jimmy.
Yeah, we weren't doing drugs out back. He just needed to sleep.
And I thought I could handle the different versions of Jimmy, because I've also seen Meltdown Jimmy.
Yep.
And we make it work, you know, find a way to soothe him. And like in a couple minutes, he'll calm down eventually and he'll just want to watch Big Fish. However, there was one moment where I knew for certain
that Katie is nowhere near ready for kids like she thought she was.
What did Jimmy do?
What did Jimmy
now,
do?
What I love about Jimmy is that, especially now he's in the stage where he's more vocal.
He is.
He's starting to speak more and stuff, and I'm starting to understand him. And so we had this moment where we're just sitting down watching TV, and he says, Katie, Jimmy poo-poo. And I was like, okay, he's telling me now that it's time that I got to change his diaper. Mm-hmm. Now, anytime that I've ever had to change Jimmy's diaper, it's only been pee. I've lucked up.
Okay.
It's only been pee.
It was just a matter of time.
So then this, I'm like, come on, Katie, we can handle this. All right, let's change Jimmy. All right, cool. So I'm going in. I'm like, I got this. Everything's good. Got the diaper wipes and everything. He has Horsey because he wants to play with Horsey a little bit. Calm him down. And so then I open the diaper. Y'all, it's massive. And it is just, it's not even solid.
No, no.
And I'm like, pee you, Jimmy? And he's like,
pee you, Jimmy.
And he goes,
evil.
So he does this, and he's kicking his feet up.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to hold both of his legs.
Yeah. Get up under there.
I got him like a rotisserie chicken, right? But the smell, and I have a very weak stomach.
Uh-huh.
Y'all, it's hard for me to even go into public restrooms.
And Jimmy eats very clean, courtesy of his father.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he has yogurt with hemp seeds.
Oh,
FYI,
wow.
Hemp seeds come out the same way they went in.
So I smell it, and as soon as I smell it, I'm like, and the situation's about to go bad, y'all. I was about to throw up, and I was like, I can't throw up on Jimmy. Kristen's going to kill me if I throw up on Jimmy. So I put my shirt, like, over my nose because I'm like, that's the only way I'm going to be able to do this safely.
Now, is he watching you hide from his stink?
Yes.
Now you're like a mass robber changing my diaper.
No, so then Jimmy reaches up and pulls my shirt down.
He was like, this was just for you. Enjoy it.
Exactly. He's like, you're going to smell this. And I'm like, Jimmy, no. So then I try to put my shirt back up and my hair's down. So my hair, I'm like leaning over, trying to change it and all this and wrap this up at the same time. He's like, Katie, hair. He starts playing with my hair. And I'm like, Jimmy, no, we got to change you and wipe you down. But it was just a situation where I knew if I didn't cover my nose, I was going to throw up. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't. I'm not ready for kids because I wouldn't want to change my child's diaper.
Was it so bad? Because, I mean, sometimes it'll be so massive when you have a little boy, it'll actually, like, it'll get all up in the balls, the twigs, and the berries. Oh, and so you're having to, like, it can be a solid night. And I mean, his stuff is rancid.
Yeah, I remember the first time that I babysat for the dude that I worked with in Washington, D.C. I only could have been, I don't know, 20 at the time, 21 maybe. And I was watching his kids, and they pooped, and I just picked the kid up, and I started the bath, and I dipped him in the bath. I was not going to change the diaper. I just started a bath for him, just dipped it in it. Seemed clean enough, man.
Katie, if it makes you feel better, I don't know what they eat, because we do no sugar as well. Something happens in their bodies to make it smell so bad. I have thrown up.
Really?
Changing it, and I threw up so violently, my entire neck and shoulders Charlie horsed on me.
Because
it was so bad.
No.
Yes. So you're not, parents
you're
feel
not
that
alone,
way, too.
Girl.
No, I think you are ready, because you changed this diaper, and you didn't yet. Congratulations. Yeah, okay.
But she never has to do it again. It's the Bird Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bird Show.